Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is discuss the issues between rural and urban America. Today, we've got two guests. The first half of the program will be Michelle Thompson. The second half, David Schutz, both individuals, one from Missouri, one from Massachusetts, came to Morton County, North Dakota, to stand with the Standing Rock Reservation and tribal members. Let's get to Michelle Thompson. Both left under pretty precarious situations.
Although I do want to verify on the air that I was not paid to do this interview, because that's one of the accusations that I've been going through. They're like, you're being paid to say this stuff. And I'm like, no, I am not being paid to say this stuff. This is legitimately what's coming out of these camps. And I'm guessing, like, I'm having a good idea that maybe a lot of these threats that I've been receiving have been from, like, BLM and BLM supporters, which is okay, because I'm all for that movement, you know, but I don't like violence that comes with it, you know? So I just want to clarify that I am not being paid to be on here.
Okay.
It's just 100%, because that's one of those things that they've been saying, that I've been getting money to do radio shows, and then one person said that I was actually in, on the news broadcast, right? But I was hiding behind something and then talking, and I was like, no, I wasn't hiding behind anything and talking. I was in my car hiding from all of you. I really believe that there's so much going on, and so many people have deviated away from the actual cause. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the reason why I left, was because I was like, I'm not here to straight up get arrested. I am not here to sue a city. I'm here to help get these people's land back, you know? And if you guys aren't going to stick with that program, then I can't help you. I'm only be causing a problem being here, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really my feeling on it, you know? When you're being coached on how to get arrested straight up off the top, and then the lawyers are coming up to you and say, don't worry, honey, if you get hurt, we can always do, you know? What does that kind of say to you? Would you stay there?
No. You know that I was there for, I mean, like 30 minutes, right? I was on the front lines.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
so that's a little bit of what I experienced with it. But like I said, you know, after all of that, I was like, I can't help these people, you know, because it's not like this summer was. This summer was amazing. I mean, all of the video feeds and everything else that I was seeing from, like, Myron Dewey and a couple other people, you know, it was just amazing. It was being done in a very prayerful way. But now what we have are these, like, rogue people that just want to come in and cause a bunch of problems. And that's not going to help anybody. It's not going to help the natives, first off, because native and settler relations, as we all know, have not been the best. This is going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, why did you go to North Dakota from Missouri to begin with?
I went to North Dakota from Missouri to North Dakota, to begin with, because I really wanted to help get these people's land back, okay? I understand, because I am Native American myself, on the burial sites, you know, that shouldn't be happening at all. Like, going through a burial site, that's disrespectful. And I think that anybody else would agree with me, you know. And not only that, but also the sacred lake that's in front of that site is just, you know, people have been praying there for years upon years. And, you know, it's kind of like when you're doing something like that, it's kind of like putting a pipeline through your grandma's grave. Not only that, but also your church. Because that's really how they view it. It's really a sacred spot. So that's the reason why I went up there, was to stand with them, to let Dapple know that this was not right, that this was absolutely not right. And this is a human issue. It still is a human issue. But as far as I'm concerned, I feel like it's not being handled properly.
While you were there, and we've seen, it's pretty well documented now that the tribe had 2 years to say, no, we don't want that pipeline in this particular area, even though it's not on tribal land. Did all of that come to light while you were there, that they had 2 years and refused to come and even talk about where they wanted the pipeline?
Yes, that came to light, and that was another thing that bothered me, because I was like, well, you know, if the steps would have been taken to begin with, you know, we wouldn't be having this fight, you know. My whole thing is that a lot of this could have been solved by going to the meetings. Not only that, but I'm sure that if they would have dug up the old documentation from, like, the broken treaty lands and everything else, that they could have proved that this land was actually taken, then they may have been able to retain it back, you know. So that was kind of sad for me to see, because I was like, well, you guys are saying that you didn't know. Well, you had 2 years, and I'm sure that you knew. Mm-hmm. You know, and that came to light when I was in camp, too. So that was pretty sad for me,
yeah.
At least. So it's like, you know, we could have really solved this problem before it ever became a problem.
There's still millions of people, I believe, that think this pipeline is on tribal land, and it's not.
Oh, it's absolutely not. Actually, the front line, and I know this because I was there, I was in a Southeast Cowan camp, which is a big camp, IP3 and Red Warrior is right in front. So we're not like frontline, but we're pretty close, mm-hmm. close to it. So, you know, I mean, I was actually in the camp, and that's what I was hearing. You know, I was like, oh my God, what if these people would have just taken the steps that they needed to do? Would we still be here? And I'm sure that we wouldn't have been.
Right.
You know, So it's a really sad situation. It really is for native and settler. You know, it's sad on all ends. And that's really what I'm trying to get at. You know, if people are going to come, you know, come because you're coming for the right reasons, like I did. You know, don't be violent. Don't be mean to people. Don't shut down the malls. You know, these things are A, going to get you arrested, and B, it's terrorizing to the community out there, and I've seen it firsthand. You know, I've been there.
You've made it clear on a couple of occasions that there's an intent that they want you to be arrested because it somehow makes a statement for them.
I think so, yes. And that was very clear to me, at least. Like, we went through all the trainings and everything else, and, you know, it just was kind of like, well, don't get arrested, but if you do. And then I went to one of the morning meetings. I won't say where it's at because, of course, I don't want anybody's right to be infringed upon. It is free speech, and I am all about that, you know. So, like, I was at this morning meeting, and we were all standing around talking about, like, the different actions that we were going to do for the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy walks in, and they're talking about these people getting arrested. This guy walks in, and the whole mood in the tent just changed to from kind of solemn to, oh my God, you got arrested. Yay, go you. Oh my God. You know, and I was like, you're happy that he went to jail? Why are you happy that he went to jail? I would be kind of like, man, are you okay? Is everything all right? What did they charge you with? What did they get you with? You know, is there any way that we can help you? No, these people were literally clapping for him.
How many people, in your estimations, are from North Dakota, Standing Rock? I see the reports from the Morton County Sheriff that 9% of the people arrested are from North Dakota. Do you feel that it's a lot of people from Missouri, Montana, Massachusetts, everywhere else?
Actually, they've done a wonderful job, and the one thing that I can say about the tribe is that they have done a wonderful job of getting the word out about this, okay? So if they would have gotten the word out to begin with, okay, about this, they could have gotten a lot accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, the people in the camp, they're from everywhere. If anybody goes down there, go down there. If you are in North Dakota, go down there and just walk around the camp, and you'll actually get your answer. from doing that. There are a lot of people from Standing Rock, that is true. But I don't believe that over 90% of the people arrested are from Standing Rock.
I'm sorry, Michelle, I said 9%.
Nine percent are
from,
oh, okay.
They're from North Dakota, not necessarily Standing Rock.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Less than 10% of the people arrested are from North Dakota, if you follow me.
Yeah, I would say that is true then.
That's Michelle Thompson. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will continue to visit with her. Before I let you go, Superior Livestock Auction this week on Friday will be selling 24,000 head of cattle. They are sold from the historic Fort Worth Stockyards. You can view the sale at Dish Network, Channel 232. Find your rep and talk about marketing cattle the Superior way. More details and Michelle Thompson after this. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Rural Routes, the program. Michelle Thompson, she went from Missouri to the camp in Morton County, North Dakota. Didn't find what she expected. Let's get to the core of what really went wrong. Because obviously you believed in the cause, but you had a change of heart. What happened?
Yeah, I decided to leave because of the fact that the cause was not the way it was during the summer. It did not feel the same, and it did not have the peaceful tone that was actually advertised to me, via the internet and other social media outlets. So that's really why I left, was because of my personal safety. I was like, you know, I'm not willing to go off to a front line thing and possibly get hurt, maimed, or killed. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. You know, especially when it's on my side, you know, I don't mind dying for a cause, okay? I don't.
Right.
But if you're going to die for a cause, you got to make sure it's the right cause, you know, and you're doing it in the right way. And a lot of this is not being done in the right way. So that's why I left, is because of all the rogue people. I was like, you know, I don't think that we can do this because it poses a personal safety issue to me. Not only that, but I was like, you know, if I'm not to be part of the solution, I definitely don't want to be part of the problem, you know?
Right. So,
I mean, if you're going to be posing a problem to a community and being told to actually pose a problem to a community, and your solution, if you get hurt, is that you get sued, that just speaks so many volumes to me, and that tells me that it's not being done in the right way. You know, that's not the Native American way, not at all. And anybody who says that it is needs to actually get involved in their tribal stuff, and they will find out that Native Americans are historically really nonviolent people. And, you know, that's why I came, is because, you know, it's like, oh, it's the Native Americans, we'll be fine, you know, we can go and do this peacefully. And then I found out that wasn't even true. So that's why I left.
And that's because it's no longer controlled by the tribe. It has been hijacked by some, we'll call them radicals,
that want to destroy. Pretty much. I think that they think that they're going to get a revolution off of this. And I think that they think that there's some sort of glory in fighting a holy war with maybe the police or even the government itself. But any Native American elder will tell you that there is no glory in war at all. It's the most disruptive thing about war is the war itself, you know, and you don't want to cause a war anywhere. You know, if you're going to be protesting something, protest it, but do it in a good way, do it in a peaceful way. So that's really what I have to say to people is, you know, if you cannot do this, then please don't come to Standing Rock, and please don't harass the people of Bismarck. And also, I do want to debunk something for everybody really quick. If you want to, I do have a Facebook page. It is off limits to a lot of people. Have to be that way because of all the death threats. But if you look at a picture of me, I am by no means white. You can tell I'm a mixed breed. And the people of Bismarck, a lot of the stuff that's been floating around on social media is like, the people of Bismarck are bigots. You know, they are racist bigots. No, they're not. They're some of the most lovely people that you'll ever meet. Even when I was there as a water protector, they treated me with the utmost respect. They knew why I was there, is that obviously I'm not from the area. They would know who I was because the town is really small. You know, and I mean, I got greeted with smiles, handshakes, and conversation. I never once experienced somebody being hateful or sideways to me.
Michelle, millions of dollars are coming in with GoFundMe accounts. I had a conversation with a gentleman who left there who uncovered and turned over to the authorities the embezzlement.
Be careful. Be careful, because some of those GoFundMe accounts are fraudulent GoFundMe accounts, and some of the accounts are not even being used for what they're saying that they're going to be used for. And I know that for 100% fact. And it's very sad that people would do that. But yes, there is some embezzling going on with that. I've heard about it firsthand. I've talked to a lot of the people in the camp. And if you guys just go down to camp and talk to the right people, they'll even tell you the same thing. Of course, off record, because, you know, you might get death threats like me. Or like the other gentleman. I'm sure that he's going to get some backlash from it, too. But, yeah, most definitely. Embezzling is going on in that camp, like, super bad. So when you give to a GoFundMe account, make sure, A, that it's a legitimate GoFundMe, and B, you know, do your research on which accounts, you know, are being embezzled. And I think that's really coming out anyway.
Do you want to speak to how you've been treated since you left?
On what, the death threats? And
Yes.
Well, let's just put it this way, okay? Since I spoke out and since I came out, I think it kind of snowballed into everybody else having the urge to do so too, which is great. I am so happy because at least maybe we could put this movement back to what it was supposed to be to begin with. Maybe the elders will listen to us now. This cause has been hijacked by rogue people. It has. Just FYI. If you're going to go there, just know what to expect. And please listen to me when I say this. be careful. Just be careful. Also, be careful if you speak out, because if you speak out, they will stop at nothing to shut you up. They will. They will stop at nothing. I have had people from not even the Standing Rock Sioux tribe threatening me. But, I mean, white people, black people, people from other tribes, women from other tribes have actually said that they were going to try to find me. One woman was so hell-bent that, excuse my French, but she was so hell-bent to find me that she actually went up on my Facebook and was saying that I was living in Roanoke, Virginia, which isn't true. It's nowhere near true because I've been out of Roanoke, Virginia. That's my hometown. I just never changed it. So, I mean, it's been hellish. I sleep with a 12-gauge shotgun every day. Every day, because I am that afraid. I actually take out, after I get off the phone with you, I'm probably going to take out my SD card out of my phone and totally and completely break my phone down because somebody actually hacked my Facebook. It was putting all sorts of rude, nasty comments on some stuff that was including the police reports and things like that, and saying it was for me, and it never was, because I'm a happy-go-lucky positive person. I would never talk like that, and I screenshotted it, of course, put it up on Facebook, and I was like, what in the world is going on? Like, they have really stopped at nothing to really try to destroy my credibility. Not only that, but they've really made my life a living hell, to be honest. And I've lost a lot of friends due to it. So, as far as that. But however,
you've gained more than you lost, Michelle.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And for every hateful message, and this is what I have to say, for every hateful message that I receive on my Facebook, I get about 10 really positive ones. Mm-hmm. So positivity will always negate the negativity. The negativity cannot live where positivity is. It just can't. So, you know, there's going to be negative people out there, and I understand this. And, you know, they put a lot of energy into shutting me up, but that's cool because I will never stop speaking out against something that's wrong, and they know it's wrong. And I actually had an elder a comment on one of my stuff, on one of my videos, and he sat there and he yelled at a Native American woman. He sat there and he was like, how dare you? He was like, she understands that the worst thing about the war is the war itself. It's the most destructive thing. Listen to what she is saying. And this is coming from an elder. And he even thanked me for speaking out against it because of the fact that he was like, this is not how we intended it at all. And I know that's true because I've spoken to the elders while I was in camp, too.
I want to say thank you because it takes a lot of courage to do what you did. I wanted you to be on here again to kind of recap what we talked about earlier, be part of the solution. And on behalf of all of the folks of North Dakota and the landowners and the people that call it home, I say thank you for them.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, the people of North Dakota have been amazing to me. They are an amazing people. And, you know, it's so sad that social media has just lied.
That's Michelle Thompson. I'm Trent Luce. We will continue with this discussion. Only David Schutz, another individual from Massachusetts, came to the camp and is now back home regretting. I don't know that he regrets it. You decide. Hey, Superior Livestock Auction this week on Friday. I mentioned it just to remind you, 24,000 head of cattle. Get more details. Find your rep. Think about marketing cattle the Superior way yourself at www.superiorlivestock.com. More Rural Route after this. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Trent Luce, continuing Rural Route, the program. We are visiting today with two individuals who went to the camp in North Dakota, left, and are now sharing that they found what they didn't expect to find what they found. David Schutz joining us. First of all, David,
you spent some time as a United States Marine. First, let me say thank you for your service. We certainly appreciate your efforts and sacrifices, sir.
Oh, I appreciate the guys that have been deployed. I appreciate the guys that have that combat action ribbon. I was a stateside Marine. My hat goes off for those men and women that have been deployed, and especially that have seen combat action in all our services. And my heart goes out for them, and I'm here for them at all times, whenever they're in need.
That's typical for the veterans that I talk to, very humble. And I don't care if you were in Iraq or if you ever left U.S. soil, you served your country, and we all owe you a debt of gratitude, okay? So just know that we appreciate what it is that you have done. David, you've actually very recently made your way to North Dakota.
I did.
You heard about a protest. Kind of fill us in on why you ended up in Morton County, North Dakota.
Well, I mean, in regards to the information that I was receiving through social media and the media in Massachusetts, it was a bit of a media blackout. I did not know the full details of the situation that was going on in North Dakota, and it's something that I need to see for myself. Most importantly, I had a colleague and a friend that was going to be going out to the protests, and I was very worried about her safety on what I was reading online, and I wanted to make sure that she had that Marine escort while she was in town, and I ended up staying a little bit longer than expected.
David, I was at the protest for maybe 2 hours on October the 27th. I would have liked to have had a Marine escort. That would have been an excellent deal for me, too, but I wasn't there that long. How long did you plan to stay when you came?
I originally planned on just staying for, you know, 24, 48 hours. I was going to make a migration to Las Vegas after Standing Rock. For a particular business opportunity, and I thought it'd be a good time to learn some of the tribal culture with a lot of different tribes that were coming to North Dakota. So I was able to learn some of the culture and get a better understanding of the situation here in North Dakota.
I want to cut to the chase. Obviously, you're joining us because what you found is not what you were told you would find. What did you find when you got to the camp?
Well, when I got to the camp, there's quite a bit of young adults, all walks of life. There are quite a few peaceful people, whether they're there to the same way to get a little culture, but at the same time, I ran into a situation where basically there was quite a few radicals, and a lot of people were becoming radicalized, manipulated by false information, both on internally in the camps and outside the camps. And with that in mind, I stayed a little bit longer and to gather intelligence, and I saw quite a bit of embezzlement of supplies that were being donated to the camps. My third day at camp, I basically stepped up to take care of the veterans at the veterans camp, and there was quite a bit of verbal affidavits, discussions of what's been going on prior to my arrival, and I saw firsthand a lot of embezzlement in the camps. And not only that, I witnessed quite a bit of the radicals and as far as their planning and what they want to do as far as their attacks on the oil companies and whatnot. And so I basically was there for the red, white, and blue. Public safety is number one. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in, the right to protest, but protest peacefully. And when there are individuals that want to basically break the law, cause harm to law enforcement and others, that was a concern of mine, and I knew that I was in the right place and I was positioned in the right place to keep an eye open here and be able to mentor those that were being radicalized.
We're seeing reports of people who say that there are individuals being coached on how to push law enforcement to the brink, and then the videos come on to catch them responding. Were you a part or privy to any of that actual coaching on how you bait law enforcement?
I did not go to any particular legal meetings, any of the official security meetings, or any of the infiltrator meetings. But yes, they do have a legal team there, and they do, they are playing by the legal tees, and doing what they can to maximize their potential as far as disrupting the North Dakota community and the oil pipeline.
Mm-hmm. So then were you ever in a position, David, where you felt threatened?
I felt threatened the most when I was asked to leave and had to basically abandon all my personal property, being subject to questioning from one of the chiefs and having the amount of Native security personnel around me to escort me to the truck and have me leave camp was probably the most threatening moment.
We skipped some stuff in there. What led to you being asked to leave, you to leave?
Well, basically, my biggest concern was for, the safety of the veterans that were coming to camp and the vets. And when I gained information about the embezzling and seeing resources not going where they should have been going, you know, I was gathering intelligence and brought it up to individuals at camp. And once they found out that I was basically gathering this intelligence and was privy to this information, they did not want me there. They did not want me there basically looking over their finances and resources.
We see millions of dollars through GoFundMe accounts and different avenues coming in there. My question has always been, where's that money going? Do you have a handle on that?
I mean, some of the money is being distributed properly, but majority of it is not. Money is constantly being passed on to elders and those that basically run the camp, and that money is being brought outside of camp. If people want to donate and if they're for the cause, I would just provide cold weather clothing and food. Other than that, I would not be making any cash donations or gift card donations, because those are not being those are not going where they're supposed to be going.
My assessment was that the tribe is no longer involved, that it has been hijacked by some out-of-state and possibly out-of-country interest. Do you believe that?
I do. And the individual tribes that are at the miscellaneous camps that are at Standing Rock, they started their own individual and private financing enterprises, whether it's GoFundMe or PayPal accounts, etc., and they're basically running, they're raising money for to run their own programs there at Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, most of that money is not going to the people that need it.
What do people need to most know that are reading about this or seeing videos on the internet?
Say that again?
What do people who are sitting at home all across the country, possibly around the world, seeing videos, what do they need to know about what's happening there?
Well, what they need to know is that this should not be going as far as it is gone. I wish that the federal government would step in and put an end to this, because it's becoming more and more of a public safety concern for North Dakotans, especially the amount of radicals that are now in camp, the veterans that are there that are from all different types of MOSs, with the amount of federal training that they have. It poses a national safety concern. I'd advise them, if they do want to go and protest, to basically spend the least amount of time at camp and don't get involved with any security or direct action agendas, because it's not going to lead to anything positive.
Do you have an opinion today about the pipeline itself?
I'm still gathering more intelligence through, you know, I do have other associates that are at camp now that will follow up with me as soon as I get back to Massachusetts. At this point, the pipeline is going to be going in regardless. It will be completed fairly soon. And this, you know, basically was, you know, all about money. It had nothing to do with protecting the water. And we have a great portion of supporters at Standing Rock that truly believe that this is for protecting, you know, our water supply. And, you know, they're there fighting for this cause to protect the water. And, you know, with the, and they're just being misled.
Thank you, David. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and finish up with David Schutz. Let's see. The All-American Beef Battalion continuing to say thank you to people like David for protecting our country. Steaksfortroops.com is where you get more details on how you get involved. More Rural Route with David Schutz after this. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. We are into our final segment today with David Schutz joining us. He was at the camp in North Dakota. David, I've got a question. There's been an eerie silence from the White House. President Obama went to Ferguson. He continued to talk about it. There is nothing being said about this particular situation in any way, shape, or form. No federal involvement, despite what the county and local law enforcement has asked for. Do you have an opinion on why the White House and the feds have not gotten involved at any level?
Well, I believe that, this is quite the stimulus package for North Dakota. I know that the businesses around are being supported by the amount of travelers that are coming in and out of the state. And I know that, I'm sure that there's special interest groups that are on both sides that are feeding this battle. And it's unfortunate, especially when I've been taking records of donations as far as, whether it's radios coming into camp from Las Vegas or all different type of items, coming from third parties that are clearly some larger special interest is fundraising this. And it's becoming a domestic terrorist issue. And I hate to use the words domestic terrorism in this country, but, this is, the North Dakotan people have been, their way of life has been disrupted, and it's going to continue to be disrupted as long as this continues. And we're at the point now where, the threat is getting greater, especially with the animosity that's coming from a lot of the tribes. And this is not going to end well. It's not going to end well at all.
You mentioned direct action. I'm familiar with direct action through some of the extreme non-governmental organizations that believe in the loss of property and life. How far do you believe they are willing to go?
Well, what was said to me, among some tribal members is, they consider this the last war with the white man. And if push comes to shove, they're willing to lay their lives down for what they believe in and for their tribes to stop this pipeline going through, and no matter what the cost is. And I truly believe that they are sincere about that.
I continue to hear and I'm told about a treaty of 1851. I personally don't believe it's about water. I don't believe it's about this particular pipeline. I believe it's about reclaiming what they believe, they being all Indian tribes and people who are sympathetic to that, think happened in the mid-1800s, and that we need to give the Indians their land back. Did you sense that that's part of this whole thing?
Of course it's a part. I mean, they are, it's basically another round of negotiations of new borders. And they're both sides are seeing, how much land they can consume and what's theirs and what's not theirs. And most definitely it's about land rights and oil access.
There will be people hearing this, David, that say that you are joining me and sharing this information for some personal agenda. How do we know you're credible?
I have no interest in the state of North Dakota. As far as My interest was, you know, as far as this election cycle is concerned, you know, I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I ran with Bernie for 7 months, helped him out with social media and as much as I could. And I truly came out here to get the truth and get a better idea of the situation in Standing Rock. And, you know, if anyone wants to contact me at a later date, you know, my door is always open.
One other thing I wanted to ask
and,
you about.
Go
ahead, David.
Being a Marine too, I'd say Semper Fidelis. And if anyone questions my integrity, I'd be deeply offended.
I'm asking you these questions because it's hearsay and it's what people believe to be happening in the camp, and I'm just trying to clarify it. There are stories of severe assault, sexual assault, and mistreatment of women in the camp. Do you have anything to verify or deny that?
I can say this, that the different types of security teams that are at camp are doing a very good job dealing with domestic issues in camp. You know, the tribes respect their women, and they're making sure that all the women are being respected at camp. That's, you know, as far as being, I can say that Standing Rock natives are doing an excellent job protecting the women in camp.
Okay. Anything that we should know that we did not talk about?
There's so much. There's so much misleading information on both sides, inside Standing Rock in the camps and outside. If you really want to know the truth, it's going to require a lot of homework and finding those individuals with integrity that have seen a lot of these incidents firsthand. And it's something that you have to see with your own eyes to understand it. There's a lot of false reporting, and there's a lot of professional actors acting on both sides to basically emphasize the situation greater, and it's a shame. It's a shame. They're misleading on both sides. They really are.
One thing that people get irritated at, and it's been an issue in our country for a while, is that law enforcement becomes militant and over-aggressive. Did you see that?
Yes.
Is that happening?
I particularly did not see the aggression from law enforcement. From the reports that I've gotten inside camp and outside camp, law enforcement is doing their best to provide public safety and provide safety for both sides, whether it's the protesters or the oil company's workers. I would say to any protester and anyone, obey the laws and do exactly what law enforcement tells you to do. They're there to protect you as well.
I just thought of one follow-up. You said that you were escorted from camp, asked to leave without your personal property. What did you leave behind?
That is correct. Well, like I said before, I planned on making a geographic move to Las Vegas. I had to leave behind my cell phone, my tablets, my legal records, my identification, credit cards, carpentry tools, clothes, snowboards, medical supplies. I carry an EMT bag with me everywhere I go, just in case I need to save a life. GPS, you name it, I had it, and I was forced to leave it behind. I did want to leave some of those supplies for the veterans there at Standing Rock, but there was a lot of personal items that I needed to bring with me for my travels, and now I'm going to have to return to Massachusetts and put together my life back together. I mean, it's going to be a headache to get my ID squared away and contact all the banks, and basically I have to start over with just the clothes on my back right now, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
I want to finish where I started, David. Thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for sharing this information with us today, and hopefully it will help others prevent the same position that you found yourself in.
Well, thank you very much, Trent.
I just want to close. That conversation was recorded last week on Friday. David is now back in Massachusetts. I assume I've not talked to him. I truly believe that there will be more people like these two individuals, Michelle and David, come forth, because we're all, and I just feel it's important to close by reminding people that I, as much as anybody, am in favor of protesting our First Amendment rights, all of our rights as U.S. citizens. But lawlessness is not a right of the U.S. citizenry. And lawlessness has come to this region of the country, and I hope cooler heads prevail. Maybe the greatest irony of the entire conversation is that it's been reported as a peaceful prayer protest, which most people who really know what's going on know that there's a core group that are peaceful, and there's a rogue bunch, to use Michelle's words. But there's another group of people that have been praying, a group of people that are God-fearing Christians and believe that in the end, when we endure, all things will be thy will be done. Those peaceful prayers have obviously been answered today, because across this region of North Dakota, in a week that was gearing up to be the most hostile yet, because the Army Corps of Engineers has given the leaders of this camp until Saturday to vacate the premises. And of course, there were many requests coming in. In fact, you could see people, bring your arms, come in, we're going to fight to the death. Well, God has answered those prayers of the North Dakotans who want a peaceful resolve to this, because today as I speak, the wind is still blowing at 50 miles an hour, about 2 feet of snow around. Nothing like a prayer and a North Dakota blizzard to bring all of this more quickly to a peaceful resolve. We've journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. My thanks to Michelle and David. I'm Trent Luce. Remember, all roads do lead to a rural route.